Good morning, church family and guests. It's good to see all of y'all this morning. We still haven't gotten over being back together in here, have we? It's been a couple months. It's so good to gather together in this place. I am not Pastor Tim, if you didn't tell. I know we look similar, but my name is Dan Elkins, and just a couple months ago, the church voted me as one of the new associate pastors, specifically the pastor of high school and college students. And I know maybe some of y'all didn't get that memo and didn't come that night. So depending on how today goes, we could maybe get you a list of who was there that night and voted, and you can have a talk with them. But no, we are so excited to be a part of this church family and this body of believers. Like I said, it's been about 2 months, but it's been a whirlwind. Technically, it's been a whirlwind of a spring break, right? We started spring break, it seemed like, and then just never went back. But my family and I are so happy to be here. As of less than 2 weeks ago, we are officially Fruitcovians. Is that what I'm supposed to say? Fruitcovian? No. I'm a resident of St. John's County. We moved the middle of the week before last, and my kids started school this week. And from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank each and every y'all for the warm welcome. So many of y'all have been so loving and kind to myself, my wife, Marianne, of 16 years. So we have three kids. Caitlin's in high school, Caroline's in middle school, and Caleb is in elementary school. And we are so excited about what God is doing in this place. We're joining what God is already doing, and we're excited about what God is going to do in the future. And this morning, I have the honor and privilege to stand in this pulpit and open up God's word together. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5 today, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Pastor Tim, thank you for the privilege and the honor to stand up here and trusting me with this task to open up God's word together. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. We're going to read all three verses, but we're just going to start with the first half of verse 14. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. God's word says, "You are the light of the world." Let's pray. Father God, we come to you now, and we ask for you to do what only you can do. By the power of your Spirit, we pray that you give understanding to your holy word. We pray, dear Lord, that as your word is preached, that it will go out, that there will be ears to hear and eyes to see the truth of who you are, what this world is, and who we are. And I pray, dear Lord, that maybe even today in this room or who's watching online, that there would be someone that would move from darkness to light. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are the light of the world. You know, they say when you start a sermon, you're supposed to start with a story that really kind of grabs a hold of the audience's attention. You know, if you're kind of boring at the start, especially the younger ones in the audience, they'll be like, well, maybe catch the next guy, see if he's better next week. But I mean, I don't really need anything more attention-grabbing than that statement, those seven words. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Jesus himself said those words on the Sermon on the Mount to a whole crowd and said, you. I mean, that's as shocking as when I got picked first for the kickball game in middle school. I mean, what? I am the light. I mean, we know the Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world, right? Jesus said that in John chapter 8 that he is the light of the world. But then in Matthew chapter 5, he says, you are the light of the world. Now, the first thing that we need to discuss here this morning is the difference between light and darkness. There's a little bit of a confusion. Some people say that light and dark are opposites. When in essence, I don't know if you've heard this before, light and dark are not opposites. Darkness is the absence of light, all right? Light and dark are not opposites. Darkness is the absence of light. And it's implied that you know that the world is in a state of darkness. Now, Pastor Tim has been very specific about how long I have to preach this morning. I don't have a lot of time to go into specific detail about how you can know that the world is dark. But if you think the world is a good place, then you need to come see me after this, and I'll either explain it or I'll ask you how long it's been since you've had contact with the outside world. Amen? The world is a dark, dark place. It's a bunch of messed up people messing it up even more. And so what's the answer? What's the answer to this darkness? Where is the hope? Where is the light in a dark world? There is no answer from Washington or any world leader for that matter, right? There is no answer from university. The best educators in the world cannot come up with the answer to the darkness that is in the world. There is not even an answer on Google or YouTube about the darkness in the world. The answer is, if you search for Jesus on Google or YouTube, maybe you could find the answer. But you get what I'm saying, right? The world is a dark place full of evil, full of sinners like you and me. And the answer is this world needs Jesus. It's like we need someone to flip on the switch, like Cade mentioned in the kids' moment, right? It's like we're all running around in darkness, running into each other, running into tables, and we need somebody to say, let there be light. Well, God did do that, right? Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light, right? We need God to turn on the switch. And that's what Jesus is saying. When we come to verse 14, he said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. But in verse 14, he says, you now are the light. You are the torchbearers. You are the light carriers. How? Well, if you go back to when Jesus said, I am the light, he finishes that verse, John 8:12, when he says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. So the first thing that you want to see in this passage this morning is Christ lights up life. Christ lights up life. Jesus Christ is the one that puts the light in us. And we become light bearers. The moment a person has an encounter with Jesus, the light bulb goes off. The switch turns on, right? That happened to Saul on his way to Damascus. He saw a bright light, right? And then he became a light to the world. Exodus, Moses on Mount Sinai, when he was with God, he came back and he shone. There was light on his face. And so the question this morning is, has that happened to you? Has Christ lit up your life? Do you carry the light of Christ? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The newness comes from inside when we experience Christ. I still think back to that day just over 30 years ago as a nearly 10-year-old boy when I walked the aisle of my small church and I knelt on my knees in front of stairs just like this and I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. My parents and I had been going to what we now call a church plant, a mission church, and I'd been asking questions for weeks about who was Jesus and how to get to heaven and these stories that my parents had been teaching me since I was a little boy began to seep inside my heart. And I told my mother that morning that I needed to go forward and give my heart and life to Jesus Christ. And when I knelt on my knees, I don't remember the exact words that I said, but I remember that I told God that I was sorry for the things that I'd done, and I surrendered my life to Christ. And in that moment, the light bulb came on. The light switch was turned on. Christ lit up my life. And the Holy Spirit came to live inside of me and reflect that light to those around me. John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus said, anyone who loves me and keeps my words, the Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. When Jesus comes into your life, the light that comes out, right, is there because of him. But light isn't there until Christ comes in. It's like one of those cartoons that you remember watching as a kid where the cartoon character swallowed a light bulb or swallowed a flashlight, right? And then whenever they opened up their mouth, the light came out. Do y'all remember those cartoons? I think that goes all the way back to like Playful Pluto in like 1934 or something like that. But there's actually been scientific discoveries where frogs will sometimes swallow lightning bugs and their stomachs will glow because they have the lightning bug inside their stomach, right? And we don't swallow Jesus, but Jesus comes to live inside of us. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. And then that light, not from us, but from Jesus, lights up the world. You are the light of the world. Has Christ changed your life? Has Christ lit up your life? If he has, then you are the light of the world. You're different. Just being a Christian shows a different type of life. And you can't help but show that light. And that's what this is going to talk about. Look at the rest of verse 14. It says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So Jesus is explaining that this light that comes from us shines out like a city on a hill, or like a candle or a lamp that is lit that lights up a whole house. So the second thing you see in this passage is not only does Christ light up light, but number two, the light shines in the dark. Now, many of us know a song that we learned as a child that basically comes from this passage, right? I don't know. Does Pastor Tim ever sing in his sermon occasionally? I don't know if we can all sing this together, right? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I hope we're still teaching our kids this song, right? Hide it under a bush. Oh, no. I'm going to let it shine. All right, you got the idea, right? It comes from this passage, Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says you don't hide a light under a bush or a bushel. A basket, right? You let it shine. The light has to shine in the darkness. You can't turn it off. But there's a conflict with this. Many of you that have been saved for more than a day or two understand the conflict that goes on with this light that is shining in the darkness. The world loves darkness, and it hates light. John 3:19 says, the verdict is in. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Verse 20 says, everyone who does evil hates light and will not come into the light, for their deeds will be exposed. The phrase that we often hear is the world is going to in a handbasket, right? The world is an evil, dark place. And I hear people all the time say it's getting worse and worse. And I say, people, it's been worse since the Garden of Eden, right? I mean, when Adam and Eve chose to sin, sin entered into the world, and every single human on planet Earth became a sinner, right? There was even a time when every human being on the Earth, except for one man and three of his sons, was constantly doing evil. So much to the fact that God had to send a worldwide flood to kill the whole Earth, except for Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives. The world has always been a wicked, evil, dark place because the world's problem is that it's full of sinners like us, rebels against God, no fear of God, not right with God until we get a right relationship with God. We're made by God and for God. And so every problem in the world can be traced back to sin. Sin and selfishness and self-seeking. Think about it. Any problem that you experienced this past week, you had a conflict with a neighbor, somebody driving around made you upset, you got upset with your kids, you got upset with your parents, right? You got upset with a teacher. Any of our problems that we experience in the world are because of sin and selfishness and self-seeking, right? No matter what, whether it's a husband or a wife or our kids or a coworker or a neighbor or just a stranger out in the world, we are all sinners, and this sin that's in the world causes the world to want to live in darkness. But where is the light? Right? I hear people all the time, why doesn't God do something about this? Why doesn't God do something about all these riots? Why doesn't God do something about this, about all this killing of babies? Why doesn't God do something about that? God did do something about it. Amen? He sent his son Jesus to rescue us from the darkness. And yet, what did the world do with his son? His own people, they killed him, they executed him, they nailed him to a cross. But he didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he rose again, and he is the light of the world. And he tells us in Matthew chapter 5 that we are to take that light, the light that's inside each and every one of us who believe, and he tells us to shine it in the world, to shine it in the darkness, to shine it like a city on a hill or a lamp that's lighting up a whole house. That's why we exist. That's why we're here. We're here to shine. In fact, to be a Christian and not shine is even ridiculous to think about, according to this passage, right? It's like salt that's not salty. It's like a city on a hill that is hidden. It's like a lamp on a stand that is covered. It makes no sense why a believer, a person who has experienced the light out of the darkness, would not shine that light to anyone and everyone around them. Nothing is more useless than a Christian that doesn't shine. Paul mentions this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. When I look back on my life and the times where my light didn't shine as bright as it often should, every time I look back on my life and my light's not shining, you know why it's not shining? Because I'm being selfish. Because I'm being prideful, because it's about me. I think the first couple years of high school, when I was more worried about what other people thought about me or being successful on the athletic field or being successful in the classroom, that I wasn't as focused on the depravity of the people around me and the opportunities that I lost to be a light and to shine brighter for Jesus Christ in my school. I think to my first couple years of college, when I was at the University of Florida and I was more focused on trying to make the track and cross country team or get good grades in the classroom so that I could go to medical school, then I was worried about the fact that I was surrounded by hundreds of people that many who today are still living but have not experienced the light of Jesus Christ and are trapped in the darkness of this world. And then I think about the times that my light has shined the brightest. Think about the times where I've stood up and proclaimed the gospel to hundreds or thousands of students. I think about when I've knelt down by my kids' beds at night and shared Christ or the word of God with them before they go to bed. I think about when I prayed with my soon-to-be wife before we began this covenant of marriage. I think about those times when I was on a mission trip, whether it was in ninth grade when I went to Tennessee or junior, senior year of high school, I went to Mexico. And I just think about the kids that I was able to share Christ with and some who gave their light to Christ. And you know what? When I think back in my life and all the experience of my life, do you know what were the most fulfilling, the most exciting times of my life? Was it in times when I was moving towards the darkness? Or was it times where my light that was within me was shining as bright as it could be? We need to ask ourselves the question, we living in a dark world, are we shining as brightly for Christ as we should be? Are we more worried about what our neighbors might think about us or what our coworkers might think about us or more worried about offending somebody than expressing to them the desire that we have that they be rescued from the darkness and understand who Jesus Christ is? We need to shine in the darkness. Right? Because there are two types of people in the world. There are children of light or there's children of darkness. 2 Thessalonians 5:5 says, "For you are children of light. We are not of the night or of darkness." Ephesians 5:8 says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." As a church, we need to be full of light, full of Christ, children of light, and we need to shine for Christ in this community. We need to shine for Christ in the parks. We need to shine for Christ in Heritage Oaks. We need to shine for Christ up and down Durbin Creek or Racetrack Road or Roberts Road. We need to shine for Christ on this side of Julington Creek or that side of Julington Creek in Mandarin, all right, off of 210 in World Golf Village. We need to shine for Christ everywhere that we are. And before you message me, I'm new here. I don't know where all of you live. But wherever you live, if I didn't mention it, you're supposed to shine for Christ there too, all right? Shine for Christ wherever you go. Shine for Christ at Publix. Shine for Christ when you're doing yard work around your house. You're supposed to shine for Christ everywhere. And so how do we do that? How do we shine brighter, all right? How do we get charged up? How do we get turned on? Well, we got to come to the source of the light. We have to come to Jesus. Jesus says over and over again in his word, come to me. Live in constant contact with Jesus through prayer, through reading his word, through being around other believers, because when you come to Jesus, you can't help but be light. And so the last thing that you see in this passage is number three, the light draws others to it. The light draws others to it. It says in verse 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." In the same way, let your light shine so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Like a moth to a flame, light doesn't just expose darkness, it shows and provides the only way out. You know, this world, mankind does not need more light. They need to have a change of their nature. They need a nature that loves light and hates darkness. Where's the darkest place that you've ever been? You know, again, Cade mentioned playing hide-and-go-seek in his house with the lights off. I don't know. Whenever I've tried to play manhunt with students or things like that, hide-and-go-seek in the dark, they always are turning the lights on, right? Or there's always some light. There's an exit sign. There's something, you know, that gives off at least a little bit of light, right? But where's the darkest place that you've ever been in your life, all right? I remember one vacation. Me and my family were vacationing up in the mountains, and we went into one of those deep caves, right? Dahlonega, Georgia is one place where you can go down to an old gold mine, and they take you all the way deep. I mean, you're going down, right? And then they get you in this small little cave part, and they say, okay, nobody move, and they turn off the lights. I mean, and it is like pitch black dark. I mean, you actually feel the darkness, right? I mean, I'm not claustrophobic. I'm not really that scared of the dark, except when I was kids and watched Gremlins for the first time, but that's another story for another time, all right? But when you're in complete darkness, not just like, hey, it's dark, but there's a nightlight down the hall. No, complete and utter darkness. You can actually feel the darkness on you, right? It just begins to engulf you like you're almost like drowning underwater. But how much light is needed to show you the way out of the darkness? Just a tiny spark, just a tiny speck of light. You light one match in that utter darkness, and that light is enough light to allow you to see where you can go to escape the darkness, to show our way out. As followers of Christ, as disciples, as Christians, our job is not to draw people to ourselves, but to Christ, to lead our own rescue mission to draw men and women, boys and girls to Christ. A couple years ago, there was a famous rescue mission. They tend to have these things every year or two, it seems like. But in Thailand, I don't know if y'all remember this story about these 12 teenage boys, soccer players, soccer team that got trapped in this cave in Thailand. I think they got trapped like June 23rd of 2018. They weren't even discovered for like a week later on July 1st by some British divers. And then it took them another, I think, over a week to figure out how to get down in there and to rescue them. I mean, and this was an incredible operation. I mean, it took probably hundreds, if not thousands, of the most trained divers and rescuers in the world. Different countries from all over were coming to help the Green Berets of Thailand figure out some way to rescue these 13 people. And they took a week. I think even one person lost their life trying to get to these 13 people and rescue them. If we care so much about Thailand soccer players that we would devote hours and hours and thousands of dollars and even somebody lose their life to rescue them, why in the world as Christians would we not care enough to go to our neighbor or to our friend or our classmate and rescue them out of the darkness of their sin and the darkness of this world? Because apart from Christ, you're living in darkness, utter darkness, and you're headed to an eternity of darkness. And so Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You got to be very careful about this term good works, right? What are good works? Is there anything that I do apart from Christ that is good? No. What do you think that is good, right? That word there, when Matthew is writing it, the Greek word kala or kalos, right? It means good. It means beautiful. It means attractively good. It means good that inspires. It means an outward sign of an inward good. And so we must attract people to the good that is in us. And us being good, acting good, thinking good, talking good is only because of what Jesus is doing inside of us. And so we must attract people to Jesus by the way we live, by the way we love, by the peace that we have, by the joy that we have, by the patience, by the kindness and the goodness and the faithfulness and the gentleness and even the self-control. We must attract people to Jesus by the way we talk, by the way we act, by the way we think, so that they can get closer and closer to their rescuer, which is not us, but is Jesus. We are bringing Jesus to them. One of the most beautiful statues ever made was in the 1500s by an artist, Michelangelo. It's standing in Florence, Italy. It's called the David, or David. 17 feet tall, 12,000 pounds of marble. Took him nearly 4 years to carve the statue David out of this block of marble. In fact, this block of marble had been worked on 50 years before that by an artist named Donatello. Don't worry, I'm not talking about Ninja Turtles right now. These are artists. Michelangelo, between 1501 and 1504, carved this, what is known to this world as one of the most beautiful statues ever made. And he was asked, what is the biggest challenge? What was the biggest challenging in creating such a beautiful work of art? Many of you have heard this quote before. He said, I just chipped away the stone that didn't look like David. David was always in there. I just had to chip away everything that wasn't David. And in our life, men, women, young men, young ladies, boys, girls in this room, if you've come to the point in your life where Jesus has lit up your life, you have Jesus, the Holy Spirit, living inside of you, then what God has to do is he just has to chip away what's not Jesus in your life. He just has to chip away what fleshly desires and fleshly things are keeping other people from seeing Jesus in you. The church must be the church. We must shine our light for the whole world to see. And so, Lord, help us if they come to us looking for help, looking for hope, looking for answers, and we act as if we're the ones that has the answers. No, we just must take them to Jesus. We must humble ourselves, live in such a way that the good that people see in us points to Jesus, that the imperfections, the pride, the sinfulness, the selfishness in our life is chipped away by the ultimate sculptor, so that all that is left for all to see is none of us and all of Jesus. And so, there are people lost, trapped in a dark and dying world. Can they see what is good in you and glorify your Father who is in heaven? Let us all have a great sorrow and an overwhelming burden for those that are trapped in darkness. God has called me to this church, called me to be one of the pastors at this church. I have a strong burden and desire to see high school boys and high school girls and college men and college ladies come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That we're going out weekly on rescue missions into these schools, into these neighborhoods, into these parks, and shining the light into the darkness that they may see their way out of the darkness and see their way to Jesus. But you know what? I'm not just passionate about high school students and college students. I'm passionate about elementary students and middle school students. I'm passionate about young adults. I'm passionate about median adults and senior adults. I'm passionate about any person because the Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the whole world that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so, church, let us let our light shine. Let us be sent out this morning. Let us be sent out every week to be rescue parties sent out into every neighborhood, every road, every place of business, every school, every shop, so that everyone, everywhere can hear about Jesus. Let's shine the light. Let's pray. every head bowed, every eye closed. I've been able in the last couple months to meet quite a few of you. But there's many of you in this room that I still have not had a chance to speak to or talk to. You may have already forgot by now what my name was. But as a pastor and a preacher, I can stand up here confidently and preach to you the truth of God's word, because I know that even though I don't know you, there's a God in heaven that knows you, every detail about you. He knows your past, he knows your present, he knows your future. And so if you're in this room or you're watching this service and Christ has not lit up your life, you've never been changed by the power of the gospel, you've never had that moment where the light switch was turned on, the light bulb came on, and you had the light of the world inside of you, then the Bible says today can be your day of salvation. Today can be the day that you ask God to forgive you of your sins, that you turn away from the darkness and you turn towards the light. So if that's you this morning, it doesn't matter if you're a child, a teenager, or an adult. And you know the light of the world is not living inside of you, but you want that. Then right where you are, you pray and ask Jesus Christ to come in. You pray. He's knocking on the door of your heart. Pray and say, God, I'm so, so sorry for the things that I've done. Please rescue me. Please save me. From this day forward, I give my life to you. I will live for you. I will follow you. I will come after you. Just please come into my life. You and the Father, come to live and make a home inside of me and light up my life. Now, if that's you this morning, if you're in this room, in just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing, and I'm going to be right down here on the front. There'll be some other pastors here, other people in this church that would love to talk to you about that prayer that you prayed. If you're watching online, if you prayed that prayer, reach out to us. Let us know that you gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ. So many in this room have already done that. You can think now as you sit in those seats or you're watching that the time as a 10-year-old or a 16-year-old or a 25-year-old or a 40-year-old that you gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ. The question this morning is, are you shining as bright as you should be for Jesus? If not, why not? Well, because there's something kind of starting to try to block that light from coming out of you. And so right where you sit, maybe this morning, you just need to pray and ask God to forgive you for your selfishness or your sin, that there was something this past week about not having the love and the joy and the peace and the patience that you should have had, that you need to get right with the Lord. And tell him this morning that you want to shine as bright for him as you ever have in your life, that you want other people to see, not you and what you do and how you act and how you talk, but to see Jesus in you. That they could follow the light like a city on a hill, like a lamp on a table, and they could experience the light as well. Jesus, help us as a church to shine our light for the whole world to see. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand with me as we sing?